Okay, hello everybody. My name is Ladislav Slezák. I'm a member of the JAS team. And in this short presentation, I will show you the Atom Editor, some features which I like. So maybe you can try it and use it. The Atom Editor has a motto, a hackable text editor for the 21st century. And let's see if that's true. I have just two slides, and I will show you live demo so we can see how it works. So, some short introduction. Atom is an open source project. It was started by GitHub, and currently there is a large community around. And yeah, it has many ways how to extend it. They think of it as a modern editor, which is similar is if you look at it, you will see it's similar to Sublime Text or TextMate. Actually, there is some plugin which allows importing syntax highlighting definitions from TextMate. So there are some similarities. They are focused on both users, in a sense, writers who write the code or text in the editor, and also on the programs who develop the packages. The editor itself, extend plugins, write new UI themes, and so on. And they use also the term hackable to the core. So I will also show something later. If you want to install it, there are pre-built packages at atom.io. Just there's download RPM link. You just download it and install it. I suggest to use Zipper because it has some additional dependencies to packages which are not installed by default. There are just some small packages, so Zipper make it easier. Or you can build it from sources, but that's quite complicated. There was some hackweek project to build it in OBS, but I don't know how it ended. I haven't seen the packages in OBS yet. And as I mentioned, it's extensible via plugins. Unfortunately, they call them again packages, so it's kind of confusing sometimes. And that package manager has a command line tool, APM. So for example, I will present some packages or extensions. It would like to use them, so maybe this command, which actually installs all packages which I like or mark as a star. So this way you can quite easily install a bunch of plugins to the base. So let's start with some demos. So you can see some nice features. And one disclaimer, it doesn't mean that you should drop your fine-tuned Emacs Vim configuration or whatever. So personally, I sometimes still use Vim because, for example, if I want to edit just one single file, one small change, it doesn't make sense to run this full-blown editor. Running Vim is much faster. So it does not work in all cases. In some cases, using the old way is still better. I have opened several projects. I will switch through them because some has some specific features. This is how the Atom Editor looks. It's the usual editing area with some file navigation and some menus and some status bar, just like many others have. So I will show you some interesting features which makes it somehow standing out. For example, I have this Markdown file, which means Markdown file is quite popular these days, and it used at many places, at GitHub especially, and we write documentation in it. So as you can see, it has nice syntax highlighting, which is nothing unusual, but it has a nice feature, which is live preview, which means you can easily see the rendered version. including images, and it has some nice shortcuts. So if you can, if you want to add some table, you just right tab, and then you can easily add some headers, change the titles, and you will immediately see the result. So if you are editing Markdown quite a lot, it's useful, especially if the file has some huge structure, many sub items, tables, and so on. So that if you can see the live preview, it makes it easier. So if you change something, you will immediately see some markers on the left side. Green plus means it's a new code, because it tracks the changes compared to current Git checkout. So if you change something, it can compare it with the current head state. If you remove something, you will see minus. If you modify something, you will see orange bullet. And this the nice feature is that if you're doing some changes and suddenly you see, hey, I want the original text, just click the icon, and you can easily revert back to the original state, or easily revert the removed section. So if you are doing some changes and you want to go back, then you can do it quite easily. Then it has some nice navigation, like if you press Ctrl plus R, it will show you the main headers, so you can easily switch to the section you need, or you can even write something and it will search, so you can easily find your section. And this indexing works also in a Ruby and C++ file, or actually any file which supports this feature or has a plugin for this. So that means you can navigate really quickly. Another feature which I like is open on the GitHub feature. For example, in Yas team, we communicate via IRC, and sometimes you need to send a location in a file to colleague, like, hey, something doesn't for me. Do you know where is it, or how it's defined? Where is it? So usual way you would somehow point or need to find a file and put it into IRC. The nice feature is that you can directly open on the GitHub. And the most interesting thing, which I actually forgot to mention at the beginning, is that every command which is defined in a TOM is listed in so-called command palette. So if you press Ctrl+Shift+P, you will see this menu, and it lists all commands which are defined in a TOM. That's a pretty nice feature. For example, In Vim, there are many features, but if you don't know them, then you can't find them. Or you have to Google and look in the manual. That's quite difficult. Here you can simply open the list and you can type and it will find it. So if you write GitHub, you have several options. And if there is a shortcut, you can see the shortcut on the right side. So you can learn the shortcut quite easily. So here I use the first one, which is the file. So if I press it, I will immediately see the same file and the same line at GitHub. So you can copy and paste to IRC. And actually, you don't have to copy and paste, because there is another option which simply copies directly to the clipboard. So you can just paste it and that's it. For many languages, there are so-called linters. That means while you are typing, there are some checks run behind in background. So, for example, in Ruby, if you write something like this, it will immediately complain that there is some assigned but unused variable. So if you are writing some code and you forget something, you will immediately see some wordings in the code. There are even some plugins, for example, for Rubocop, so it could immediately tell you, hey, there is one extra space or there is one space missing. But actually, I don't use it because rather I run the Rubocop autocorrection and it fixes this for me, and yeah, I'm done. And another nice feature is via the doc blocker plugin. So if you write the documentation commands, unfortunately in this file there's some command is, but if you start like this and press tab, it will immediately search for the variables, and you can just rewrite the default descriptions so you can easily document your code without writing and copying the parameter names and so on. Unfortunately, this currently doesn't work for Ruby, C++, I think Python is supported, but unfortunately Ruby, which we use in YAS, is not supported yet. As I said, many features are supported by plugins. So for example, there is a Travis plugin. So there is this small green icon. So again, if you click the details, it will immediately open the lock on Travis. So if it fails, you will see a red icon there. So just clicking there, you will immediately see the lock and you can find why it failed, what was wrong. And the last feature I mentioned, actually it's a plugin which was written by myself in doing Hack Week. Like in 2 days, I was able to do a simple simple plugin which open links. So if you put your cursor on some Bugzilla number. And press a shortcut, the bug number is immediately open. And it works also in the code. So if there is a comment in the code referring to Bugzilla, it opens this Bugzilla immediately. And it supports many other, like even Fade and the other bug reporting tools. So you just press shortcut and you can immediately see what the feature is about. And that was quite easy to implement. So now let's switch to the hackability features. So the most interesting thing is this. It's developer tool. You are probably very familiar with it, and it actually reveals how all it works, because as you can see, it's basically the page inspector from Chromium browser. That actually means that whole thing is a single web page application running inside modified Chromium environment, And all things are done basically in JavaScript, HTML, and CSS. So if you are familiar with these technologies, if you are familiar with web development, then you can quite easily hack on Atom or write plugins and so on. So it's quite convenient, and yeah, this ensured that there are quite huge of the developers or potential developers behind this. And that also means you can use normal NPM packages for Node.js, like that Travis icon. It does not re-implement whole functionality from scratch. It uses the standard Travis NPM package, and just it's a small wrapper around it. So that means the Travis communication has been already implemented in some package, and in this case they just wrap it and just display the icon and the UI stuff. But the core has been already there and just use the package. So that means you can quite easily introduce new feature without implementing this stuff around. So that means if it's HTML with CSS, that means you can quite easily change the UI if you don't like the default style. By the way, this is not the default. The default is dark. I use this light theme. But anyway, you can quite easily change whatever you want in the UI. For example, using this navigator, you just need to find the correct class names and so on, the path to the widget in the tree. But basically, it's just like changing the UI in a web page. So I have some examples. If I uncomment this and save, then the status bar at the bottom changed the color to black. If I save it, comment it and restore it, so yeah. Another example is the close icon here at the tabs. You can see that close icon, but maybe you want to change the color. You want to make it more visible. So you can quite easily change it to red color, or even make it bigger. So now it's more visible, and then you can just fine-tune, make some padding at the top so it looks better. So that's it. So this way you can quite easily change the UI and make it looking as you wish, or you can define a completely new theme. If you don't like the color schema, you can quite easily create a new one from scratch. Actually, there is some generator which can create a template for you, so you can create a theme package quite easily. And the last example is about the cursor. So again, you can change it to red, change the width. 1 pixel is probably not visible, so let's make it this way. So you can change the UI very easily. So that's about changing the style. Of course, you can extend the functionality. By default, there is some init file which is loaded at the startup. I have just a short example which defines some new command. So this defines a new command, libsum-insert, which inserts into the active text editor some text. For this, we need to restart the editor because this is not loaded automatically. So we have to restart it. And then we can see our command in the menu. So if you start it, the text is added there. Okay, having a command is nice. So what about having a keyboard shortcut? So there's another config file where you can define your shortcuts either for commands which don't have any shortcut assigned, or you can change, because sometimes maybe you are used to some keyboard shortcut and you want to use the same. So you can redefine. And another use case is that maybe some plugins conflicts, because there are like currently 8,000 plugins, and maybe sometimes you find that two plugins or more might conflict. They use the same shortcut, so here you can redefine it. So we assign Control Shift Q. Restart the editor. And so now whenever we press that shortcut, the text will be added. So that's very simple way how to extend the editor. If you want to do more changes or bigger changes, it's convenient to start a new plugin. So instead of changing your local configuration, you can create a plugin, which is quite easy because there is a plugin which generates a new plugin. So you can quite easily create a template for a new file. You don't have to start from complete scratch. This is the Bugzilla, the mug number opener, which I mentioned earlier. The last thing I like to show is that if you write plugins, you can write a test for it. So if you run a shortcut, it will start test. Unfortunately, this plugin was written like 2 years ago and doesn't work, or it works as you have seen, but the test doesn't pass in the latest Atom. But there's some just initialization bug. But what I wanted to show is that even for your plugins, you can write integration tests and you can run them at Travis, which I do for this plugin, which is pretty cool, because for many Vim or Emacs plugins, there are no tests, no way how to ensure that they work. With Atom, you can write nice plugins and properly test it, even use nice continuous integration with Travis. So whenever you get a pull request from someone to change something, you can be sure that the old test still pass, so it doesn't break. So this is a really cool feature I like. So that's basically it. Because I could continue quite long, but I like just to show you some most interesting parts. The best way is to simply download and install it and try it by yourself. There are some links, but yeah, I will put them into the slides so you can, because I already mentioned these in some of my previous blog posts, so you can look there. And if you don't have questions, any questions, please? No? Thank you.